You would please turn in your Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Let's start in verse 22. Paul is on Mars Hill, and he is addressing the philosophers and the idolaters at Athens. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." You know, the point he's making to them is they don't know the true and living God. There was one there that they said to the unknown God. There's only one true God. The only way to know the one true God is through faith in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only way that a person can be saved, doesn't matter where they live, what their station in life is, what the color of their skin is, the message is for everywhere, all around the world, Jesus saves sinners. He's the only way. Not Muhammad, not Islam, not Confucius, not the Roman Church, not a preacher, not a priest, not a denomination. It's the true and living God is known only in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, you'll perish in your sins. Verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. Our world needs a good dose of that tonight. The idea of evolution and so-called science, I believe it's false science. I believe with all my heart that God created this entire universe. That He spoke the world into existence by the breath of His mouth. That He did it in a very orderly fashion in 6 literal days, a little over 6,000 years ago. Now, I just said a mouthful that the world thinks is heresy. But I don't take my science from the world when it comes to how creation came about. I don't believe in the Big Bang. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in God. I believe that God is the Creator. In fact, do you realize how many passages of Scripture you would have to completely rip out of the Bible if you believed in evolution? You ought to do it sometime. In fact, next time, I'm going to do this. I read through my Bible every year. I read my Old Testament one time, my New Testament 3 times, my Psalms and Proverbs and poetic books 2. I am going to start a running sheet next year. When I start in Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to record every time. Now, I know there's apps for this. Oh, good. I'm doing my own app. The Tom Ross app. I'm gonna see how many references all through the Word of God that declare, that establish that God alone is the creator and the sustainer of this vast universe. Now, when it gets about December, Alan, remind me of that, will you? Alan's, he's categorically, he has things in line. He can remind me of that. Now, God that made the world and all things therein. All right, here's another truth that's dismissed and completely forgotten. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is sovereign. He does what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, and He does not need man's permission to do anything. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Our God reigns. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Oh, how many idolaters are there in this world that make temples to false gods? And they can even put their little gods in their temples. Our God is too big. Verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. Remember that sermon I preached, Joe, on God needs nothing from this text? He don't remember that. I think it was about 15 or 20 years ago, though. You remember it, don't you, Josh? My own flesh and blood. It says, neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Think about that for a second. You know why you're here tonight? Because God's given you life and breath and all things. All physical things. If you're saved, all spiritual things. If you're saved, He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved, He's given you another day to live. Another day where you're drawing His air, where you're eating the food that He's provided and the health that He's given you. Repent of your sins. God's goodness is displayed to lost men, women, boys and girls every single day. And they very rarely stop and think for a moment who He is and who the Savior is. He gives to all life and breath and all things. Verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God is so sovereign, He determined your day of birth, where you're going to live, where you're going to work, and the place you're going to die, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, meaning we are made, man was made in the image of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. He is not an idol. He's not a statue. He's not a picture. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. No matter where you are, who you are, the command is repent. Have a change of mind. about what you are, what you've done, your relationship with God. Turn from your sin, detest it, and turn to Christ. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead, Jesus Christ. He's going to sit upon the great white throne judgment. And if you die in your sins, He's going to, all your entire sinful past will be reviewed at the great white throne, and then He'll determine your place in the lake of fire based on how you lived your life. Now, you're going to the lake of fire if you're lost, because you still got your sins. But I believe that there are measures of punishment in the lake of fire. Worse places than others. Now, what I've done is just given you a brief overview of Paul's message on Mars Hill to the Athenians. I want to take one verse and kind of, well, draw a message from it. It's verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. My title of my message tonight is a question. Is it races, plural, or the human race, singular? Now, some things I'm going to say are probably going to go against a lot of the things that you've been brought up on. I'm just going to tell you that. It goes against a lot of the things that I was brought up on. And while I was studying and researching this subject, I ran across a great book, and I would encourage you to get it if you want to study it in greater detail. It's by Ken Ham, and he is by far right now the creation expert. He was instrumental in having the Creation Museum built and then the Ark built. He's definitely an authority on what the Word of God teaches about creationism. But him and a man by the name of Charles Ware wrote a book called One Race, One Blood. And they address a lot of misconceptions and false teachings surrounding the subject of race. And I highly recommend this resource. If you really want a scriptural presentation of the facts, rather than relying on human philosophy and the fleshly reasonings of sinful men. And one of the biggest takeaways from the book was that most controversies regarding race have nothing to do with skin color or skin tones, but rather sinful attitudes and preconceived prejudices that we all have. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that you may not agree with, but it's true. I don't care what color your skin is, everybody is prejudiced. To some degree or another, people have prejudices. Good or bad, it's the truth. But the problem's not skin, it's sin. Now, I've come to the conclusion, I ask the question, race is plural or the human race, singular? You know the word race never occurs in our English Bible? Not one time. Al, does it ever occur in the Greek or the Hebrew? Yet, how often on a day-to-day basis, if you heard a newscast, how often is race referred to in our society today? Every single day. I don't believe in races. I don't. I don't believe that there are different races. There's a human race. Now, I'll tell you some things about my past to show you where I'm coming from on this. I grew up in a town close to Cincinnati, Ohio in the 60s and 70s. You know, it used to be when I'd say the 60s and 70s, I'd think, well, that wasn't so long ago. But now, if you tell somebody that you grew up in the 60s, they think you're ancient, you know? I have to tell them, because they always say, oh, no way. There's no way you could have been, you grew up in the 80s and 90s, didn't you? No. I know I look a lot younger, but I'm actually 65. I grew up close to Cincinnati. Our schools, our sports were all integrated. One of my very best friends that I've known since grade school is what people call today an African American. Now back then, he was just black. He really had more of a brown skin tone. His name was Kevin Hamilton. Kevin came to my house a lot. I went to his house a lot. We went to school together. We shared meals together. I was probably the only white boy who ate chitlins, black-eyed peas, hog jowls, and sweet potato pie back in the day. But I shared meals with Miss Hamilton. We played sports together. And I had several black friends growing up. I knew them pretty well. And I'm not just your average white boy that says, oh, I've got black friends. I actually did. They had their prejudices. I was with them. I know them. And I had mine. But rarely did they ever hinder our friendship. Now, back there in the 60s and 70s, one bridge too far was the idea of whites marrying blacks. It was considered socially unacceptable in the main by the white families of our community as well as the black families in our community. That's just the way it was. It was the way that the white people brought up their kids. It was the way that the black people brought up their kids. Now, I'm not saying that never, you know, that was those lines were never crossed, because they were. Over the years, through the study of the Bible, I've come to adopt what I believe is a scriptural view regarding the variety of people groups represented throughout the world. I don't believe in so-called races of people based on their skin tone. You know, they call Kamala Harris a black woman. Well, I can almost be, I'm darker than Kamala Harris in the summertime. So was my mother. It's because we got a lot of melanin in our skin. And when the sun hits it, it turns brown. Pretty dark brown. I never wear sunscreen. Of course, that's a whole nother sermon. But sunscreen, I think that's just a way to get people to buy more sprays. When I was a kid, I went around, I was all the time. I never wore sunscreen or nothing, and I'm still alive. Now, I don't believe in races. The word race never occurs in our English Bible with reference to people or their skin color. The fact is, the idea of different races is unscriptural. And it's really been popularized in the varied forms of Darwinian heresy, spawned by the anti-Christian theory of evolution. I've come to the conclusion that those who peddle the filth of evolution and its ugly stepsister known as identity politics are the real racists in our world today. Darwin's heretical book, first published in 1859, was originally titled The Origin of the Species, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, and was followed up with The Descent of Man. Evolution is rooted in racist philosophy. See, I don't believe that there are inferior races. Not for a minute. I don't believe that black people evolved from some other race. I believe they go back to the very same person we do. Same with Chinamen, with Japanese, Asians, Latin Americans, Hispanics, whatever you want to call it. They all go back. I'm going to prove this from the Bible. We're all of one blood. So I've adopted a biblical worldview. I believe that God is the creator of our universe and everything in it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1, where God declares Himself as the creator. And then John chapter 1, where Jesus Christ, the Word, is declared as the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You realize what a hypocrisy it is to say that you believe in Jesus and yet you believe that these verses aren't true? If you don't believe that God's a creator, you believe in the Big Bang, you believe in evolution, you are denying the Bible. Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So according to the Bible, Adam was the first man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, or Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Eve was the first woman made from the rib of man. Genesis 2, verse 22 and 23. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. I don't believe that's allegorical. I don't believe that's spiritual. I take that literally. There were two people in the Garden of Eden created by God, Adam and Eve. Listen to 1 Timothy 2:13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So you've got the Old Testament affirming it and the New Testament affirming it. Thus, all men women, boys and girls ultimately trace their human existence back to Adam and Eve. Now let's think about this for a minute logically and practically. Logically, this would include people of every skin tone, depending upon the level of melanin. Now, melanin is what everybody has, and it determines how light or dark your skin tone will be. It's in your body. Some people are very light, and some people are darker. Everybody descended from the first humans created by God, Adam and Eve. Does everybody believe that? You don't have to raise your hand. Now, after the worldwide flood in the days of Noah, only his family of eight, consisting of his wife, his sons, and their wives, survived. Only eight people saved during the flood. All men after the flood descended from Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were the sons of Noah. I tell you what, there's a lot of heresies about the sons of Noah. Peter Ruckman had a whole thing how that the black race that descended from Ham, he said descended from Ham, that they're cursed. And, I mean, build a whole doctrine on it. That's evolutionary theology. It's not biblical theology. Genesis 9, 1 and 19 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. These are the three sons of Noah. Of them was the whole earth overspread." There are no separate races of men. Only men who trace their lineage back to the sons of Noah, who trace their existence back to Adam and Eve, who were created by God. Period. End of story. There is no race hierarchy based on so-called evolutionary processes. We are all part of the human race or family. I prefer family. You say, well, how did people get all split up? We're going to go into that next week. Let's all stand.